Well, we're going to talk in Romans first this morning. We're going to go to Romans 14, and we're going to go to verse 17. And I love this because Dr. Evans used this. It's a defining verse to me of what is the kingdom of God. People go, I want to be part of the kingdom. Well, what happens when you get to heaven? Do you even know what the rules are like? You know, if you go overseas and you go to some of those other countries, you've probably been to some of those countries people don't really normally want to go to. But when you go there, if you're there working for the U.S. government, you have your rules kind of still applied to you, but you also then have certain restrictions by the country that you're in that you're limited by. So you're kind of like doubly limited. You're limited both by what they say you can do and then by what the government says you can do. But there's a limitation. That's what a lot of kingdoms, if you will, in the world have. We live in a kingdom inside of this country of the United States. Our kingdom of the United States has a rule and has a law, and there's what we call a federal government, and then there's federal laws associated with that government. Things that you're not allowed to do because that government says you can't do these things, right? This is the way things work. So we also live in a city inside of a state, and the state has a government with its rules, and then the city has its own rules, its ordinances, its little laws, and they enforce things based on those levels. You have, this is just inside, I'm saying this is inside of our country. You have a federal, you have our state, you have our city, right?
Yes.
Well, the kingdom is its own, it's the kingdom of God, and it has its own rules, its own laws, its own statutes, its own ordinances, its own ways.
Amen.
So this is the kingdom of God. And the reason why this matters is, are you living by the rules of the kingdom, or are you living by the rules of the natural, of what the world is around you? Are you more happy to say, well, I understand, like you ever seen somebody jaywalk and you're like, they're jaywalking, like they're going, there's no crosswalk here. I've seen it, especially in Florida, you notice it, because in Chicagoland, it's different with crosswalks than it is down here. You know, as soon as you get out of the city of Chicago, you better watch it if you're walking across the street. It's not like all the, here in Florida, somebody steps out and all the cars are like, eat! You know, they stop. It's like in the city of Chicago where there's like 1,000 people and you'll sit there at a light for a half an hour because you can't go anywhere because they just constantly are crossing the street. But these rules or these laws that you see, if you notice one get broken, you'll see it and you'll be like, hey, that's not fair. That person shouldn't do that. You know, in Florida, I remember the first time I was with Miguel and I saw a car that was in the far right lane make a left turn across Bruce where it's four lanes wide there. And I was like, he was in the right lane and he went across to all these lanes to turn left at this light. And Miguel was like, oh yeah, that's a Florida thing. I was like, I've driven a lot of years and I've never seen somebody do that one from there to there. I mean, four lanes, you had to get it pretty wrong. You know, that wasn't like, oh, is this the one? Like I knew I was going to go left. So we've done this on the highway and the exit comes and pops up on you and you're like, oh, Kristen loves those ones. I always get a text or a phone call when we do those ones. And you're just late and you've got to cross the line because you're late, you know, making that turn. That's different than, I have no idea where I'm going. I'm in the far right lane. I'm way over here. Four lanes across from where, oh, I think here. And you just go across. Well, you notice it when somebody violates the rules and you notice when they violate the law. But what about the law of the kingdom? Do you even recognize when you violate it?
Come on.
Well, we'll find out. And this morning we're going to read, like I said, in Romans 14. We're going to start in verse 17. And it says, for the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom that matters, guys. If there's a kingdom and a rule and a law that you want to pay attention to, it's the one that says, of God.
Yeah.
Right? This is the one, if there's one you want to get,
yeah.
Of God.
Yeah.
This is not eating and not drinking. In other words, this isn't of the natural things. But even more importantly, it says it's not the law of eating and of drinking. What does eating and drinking have to do with your life? Do you know? If you stop eating and drinking, what happens to you?
You will die.
You will die. Now, some of us could live for a good long while without eating. Like, we could stop the eating, and then, like, months later, we'd still be like, no, I'm fine. Like, I don't know how. I think, like the majestic camel, you have managed to hold on many a day's worth of food. But what you would notice is if you stop eating and drinking, you will die. It's the way that you're sustained. So it's very clearly saying not just of the natural. It could have just said natural.
Come on.
It's saying of eating and drinking. It's not that law. That's not how you fill yourself up.
Right.
Here's the law. Okay, it's being specific. This is not how you're going to live. This is how you're going to live. That's what it's saying. And it says this, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the kingdom of God. There's songs that say this about the kingdom of God. But what people don't get, Dr. Evans said this. He said, this is the kingdom. You want to know what the kingdom is? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when you violate righteousness, you're breaking a kingdom law.
Come on.
When you violate peace, you ever been the person that came in and violated peace in a room?
Yeah.
I have. Mm-hmm. I've been that person. You go in, you say what shouldn't be said. You know there's peace is broken.
Come on.
Johnny had a video game that he played. I think they still play it, but it's this game, and I don't mind a shooting game, like I said. I tend to prefer those over like a driving game. If I'm going to play a game, I'd like to at least have fun aiming and shooting something. But this was a game where, and it's a very famous game nowadays, but it's you go and you shoot people, and then if you die, you're out. Like, there's no coming back from, you're done, now you're out of the game, and you got to wait till the next game. Well, he was playing this game. And he's like, you got to try this game. And then I had family members up in the north, some of my sister's husbands and stuff all saying, you got to try this game. So I'm like, all right, I'll play a game with you guys. And I got on the game, and we started playing. And I was like getting used to the controls of what the game was and their little fancy deal. And I went walking around, and there was a guy there. So I'm shooting at the guy, and I got killed, and then I was out. And I was like, why do you guys play this one? Like, this game is built to make you angry. Its design is to infuriate you. Why are you purposely ruining your peace? Like, play a game where then you come back and you get to kill that guy, but now it's like, and it's over. And what's funny is I hear the frustration on everybody else's voice when they get killed in that game. The peace immediately leaves them.
Yeah.
Find your most peaceful person. What in the world? That came from nowhere. It's unfair. He's a hacker. All this stuff. Like, I hear these. I hear them. And I'm just like, why are you purposefully? You're doing this to you. Like, you were happy a minute ago, you started doing this, you got one guy so you felt good, you're like, ha, I got him. And then somebody shoots you in the back of the head and you're like, the world's over, like, I hate this, everything's bad, and you're yelling and you're furious. And what I'm saying is, why would we practice things that violate peace? Why would we practice the thing that is going to break a law of the kingdom? On purpose we practice it. It's like people that go to see a scary movie and don't think Spirit of Fear might be involved in that movie. Well, what's that matter? Because why do you enjoy it? I know what I'm talking about. I used to watch movies like that, but why do I enjoy it? Why do I enjoy a scary movie? You ever ask yourself that? It's like, Miguel, why do you enjoy romance movies? I think we all know. But why would we enjoy a scary movie? Yeah, there's the bus right over the top of Miguel. He's like, people don't need to know that. Everybody knows that. If anybody likes Disney, they like romantic movies. It's like, you're going to lose Miguel for most of the Christmas season, and you know why? Because Hallmark. That's why. Everything's like a Christmas love story. And he's like, I watched him in Kirkland. I was like, where's Miguel? He's in the living room. What's he doing? He's watching Hallmark. Oh, that's right. I forgot. It's that season that Miguel is going to disappear. He knows all of them. He's acting like he doesn't. But if you ask go Google a Hallmark, romance Hallmark Christmas movie. If you mention it, he'll be like, oh, that's the one where this and this happens. Like, have you seen the new version? I was like, there's new versions. I remember when he told me this. There's new versions of this movie. Like, it's a series of movies, and there's a new one. Yeah, the new one just came out. Like, it's a Hallmark Christmas. Anyway, why would you purposely violate the kingdom of God in your life when you know? That's like having that friend that you talk to. I remember, DJ, we were talking about one of your friends, and you're like, every time. Like, I love this guy. But whenever we get together, this guy is constantly annoying me. Like, I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh. I mean, this was a long time ago when we talked about this, but you were explaining to me how there was a relationship where you're just like, this is a stress, and I love him. But it's a stress, too. Like, he wears on me. When I get around him, he wears on me. We all know the people that are like that in our lives. Why? Why purposely go put yourself into a situation where peace, we don't think of peace normally as something that's kingdom law, but kingdom is the rule of, it's the authority of, it's the law of heaven, and we violate that law, we violate the rules of heaven, we violate the order in which heaven is if we're going to violate righteousness, we're going to violate peace, if we're going to violate joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you know, my wife was praying earlier during the praise and worship time and going into the service, God help us with the Holy Ghost, because the power of the Holy Ghost moving is one of the functions in the kingdom of heaven. And some of us don't even know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit move on us, but we know what it's like to feel the conviction of that wasn't right or that's not good. And that's good. Thank God we can say we know what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is. But what we don't understand, if we're going to lose that, we're violating the kingdom. If we're going to lose our peace, we violate the kingdom. If you're going to lose your righteousness, and you could say, well, what's righteousness? And I'm glad that you asked that question. It was perfect. It lines right up to what I was going to say. What's righteousness is what is right before God. Well, that seems like it could be a lot of things. Yeah. And thank God we have a book that tells us what some of those things are.
Yes.
But what is right before God, when you violate what is right before God, you're violating the kingdom law, the kingdom rule,
yes,
the kingdom order. And the reason you want the kingdom to function is because you want the fruit of the kingdom of God on you.
Yes.
You know, Alex told me a while ago, he said, well, this is the way I am. You know, Ernesto, who's down with his father this morning, he told me, he says it less and less now, but he used to say it, well, this is just the way I am, and I never am, and I'm not good at. And I always tell them, no, you weren't good at. You used to be. You got to get your mouth right first. Sometimes get it saved if you want to get you saved, because you're going to say it. You know, the whole world's going to try and tell you it. Don't let your own mouth come and tell you it. The whole world's going to say you're worthless, useless, can't do anything. Don't let it come out of your own mouth. Don't curse yourself. Don't put the kingdom to death in your own life on purpose. Stand by the standard that is right before God. Stand by the standard that is holy before God, and you won't violate the kingdom. You won't violate his rule. I don't care who you've been. I don't care how you are. I don't care what you used to do. I don't care the habits you had. I care about the habits that the kingdom of God says I have.
Yes.
I care what the kingdom of God says I am. Now, that's a very Christian thing to say is, don't believe who you think you are or who people say you are. Believe what the Word says you are.
Yes.
I've heard this preached many, many ways. But my word to you this morning is, regardless of how you think that your life has been, good, bad, or ugly, don't care. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you've been through. There's no bad enough that you couldn't be saved. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Yep. That's right.
Right?
Yes.
I tell people I'm a glaring example of do it really poorly. And yet God still saves you.
Come on, he does.
You ever felt like you're that person? I mean, we all have at some point, like, if it could be messed up, I found a way. I got a way to mess it up. Or you're that person who feels like it always gets messed up for you. Like, I organized it, I planned it, I set it out right, and then somebody stepped right on my cake. Like, that was my cake. I spent a lot of time making that cake right, and that cake was your life. Doesn't matter. It does not stop you from the power of the kingdom of God functioning in your life.
Amen.
It gives you no out. There's no excuse for you not to have the power of the kingdom of God functioning in your life. So what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying stop being a baby. Stop being a whiner. Stop believing the world's lies. Stop violating the kingdom rules. Stop ignoring the fact that that is violating the kingdom of God in your life. If you're allowing peace to flow out on purpose, then you deserve what you get from it. If you're allowing righteousness and things that are right before God to go out the window for the things that are not right before God, the things that violate his covenant on purpose, and you're allowing them in your life, don't be shocked when you sit there at night with warfare in your brain, or you wake up with the wrong thoughts, or you function the wrong way, or you don't find your heart being led to God. Well, you're putting your life into the things of the world. Go figure, your heart is following after it. You're putting your time into the world's kingdom, not into God's kingdom. Go figure that your heart is following after it. This says, and it simplifies it to this extent, it is righteousness right before God, it is peace. This is supernatural, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Having peace, especially when there's a storm going on, is something that Christians can do and the world cannot do.
Yes.
So when you sit there going, I feel uneasy. Have you ever felt that way with a battle? I feel uneasy about this battle. I feel stressed out about this. As a Christian, I'm talking about, where you see something coming, you have that get-together. I mean, we've talked with some meetings before that you had where you were going to go to that meeting and you could tell there was a burden associated with the meeting. It didn't mean that you were not going to, like, well, I'm not going to that meeting then. It meant that there was this feeling. That feeling is not abnormal. You're not wrong to sometimes feel the pressure of a situation that's coming up. It's what are you going to do with that pressure? Don't tell me that there wasn't a giant there with David and Goliath. There was a giant. He wasn't blind. David wasn't like the, you know, is there really a giant? I can face him. Like, he saw the giant. There was a pressure that was there. That's why David found this awesome way to encourage himself through the testimonies of his life, what God has already done to get him there. And what I'm saying to you is, you yourself may look at your life, you know, I keep pointing over to DJ because it's cool for me. Look at where you were even before all of this kind of turnaround that God's been doing for you in your life, getting you, being here in Florida could look like, well, it's not the way I wanted things to be. It is part of the path of God's redemption for your life. Yes. So you're well past where you used to be. It doesn't have to feel like it every day. It has to just be like it in reality. So what's funny is the devil tries to get us to get discouraged because the things we may want to have in life, the goals we may have, the desires we may have seem like they're far off and they're far away from us. Like, we're not there yet. You know, I want to be there. I'm just not there yet. So, you know, do you have hopes and dreams? Yes. Do you have desires and things you would like to see happen for your life? Of course. Yes. Are you there yet? No. Now, I'm saying that using him as an example, but I'm expressing it for all of us. We get to this place where that far-off goal seems so far off, we're intimidated by the distance between that goal. You know, seed, time, harvest. We're intimidated even by the time because we go, well, I don't know. It's going to take so long to get it there. We could get that way about this church. We're just in the beginning. You know, like my wife said, even the lady from the magazine who is going to be coming to the church this morning hurt her knee. Like, everybody was getting warfare today to get to church. And go figure, why do you think that is? Because the devil does not want the word of God from this ministry to get out. He doesn't want the word of God from the ministry over there to get out or from the ministry over there to get out. So anything he can do to slow and stop that and discourage the people will do. For him, that's all it'll do. Yep. You know, Rebecca was asking me a while ago, she was saying, well, what about when you go out and you witness to people and it doesn't seem like the people are going to respond to you? And my news for you is you keep going. I mean, that's basically what I said. You don't quit. Because it can feel like quit all over you, but that's not the option.
That's right?
That's not the option. So what I'm saying is when your hope and your dream and your desires are way over there, but your reality is, and that's what we say reality, the way it appears right now, to the natural eye, if you're a natural person, a natural, I'm going to live by the law, see by the law of the natural. It's so far away and you're not there, which makes you a failure because you're not there. And we get intimidated by the fact that it will take some time. Oh, but God, it's going to take some time to get the church where it's going to be. It's going to take some time to see the growth we're going to see. It can be intimidating just to see the time part. Do you see what I'm saying? The distance between you and your goal, your dream, your hope, your destiny, your plan from God, your ministry, whatever it may be. The distance between now and there seems intimidating, and it can actually cause us to lose peace if we will allow it. Goliath will cause you to lose peace if you allow it. But if you use the word of your testimony, if you use what God has already done, and if you hear my voice, if you will encourage yourself, then you can see your countenance be raised up, and all of a sudden peace won't leave you, the kingdom doesn't leave you, and you can start to fight that battle. It's not over yet. It might be in the middle of it, but you can fight the battle with some faith and with some confidence because, hey, look, God has a plan. He knows it, and I'm going to walk in it.
Amen.
Now, here's my encouragement to you. The devil wants you to look at the distance, not at the target. He doesn't want you to look at the fact that God has got a victory for you on the other side. He wants you to look at the distance between here and there. He wants you to think about every step. How long is it going to take? How hard is this going to be? How am I even going to achieve this? Is it even possible? Well, that's just one hope. I don't know if we'll make it. He wants you to start doubting and wondering and thinking about the rocks and thinking about the hard time and thinking about the conversation and thinking about what will they do and say and what will happen to me. And he wants you to start overthinking and evaluating all the details that you cannot control anyway, and without God on you, you will fail through it anyway. But he wants you to get so concerned about him, you won't take a step. You'll sit there evaluating the process so much, you won't start making progress towards that goal. It doesn't matter whether you're crawling, it doesn't matter whether you're climbing, it doesn't matter whether you're running. If you don't make any forward progress, you're not going towards the goal. You're standing still, you're falling back. The enemy's winning. He's allowing, you're allowing him to get in and violate the law of the kingdom in your life by the very call of God up in front of you in the war of time in between you and that destiny. You hear what I'm saying? The devil wants us to get distracted by a process instead of by the target. He doesn't want us to focus on the target. I used to say to people, listen, if you're going to knock me down, I'm going to at least fall towards my goal. I'm going to make forward progress towards my goal with everything in me. If I'm so done that I'm falling, I'm going down towards the goal. So when I fall, I'm still falling in the direction of my goal because I will find a way to crawl if I'm down there until I can get back up and walk. I'm not quitting on the goal. And what's funny is the devil's so interested in doing this and discouraging you by the distance between you and your solution, your promise, your hope, your dream, your ministry, your call, your destiny, whatever you want to call it. He so wants to distract you with this, and we get so distracted easily with this, we stop doing what David did, encouraging ourselves with the testimony, and we stop looking back and saying, but look how far I've come. I'm so much further from where I was there than I have to go left to where I'm going there. But instead of looking back at what God has done here before for me, he has surely been there for me. Look how far I have come.
Amen.
Look how far I am from who I used to be.
Amen.
Am I perfect? No. Am I there yet? No. But look how far I've come already. That's what David was doing. I've come through a lion and I've come through a bear and I've taken them down. This is going to be no bigger. God will surely do this. But we don't do that. We don't want to go back and look at where we've come and how far we've come and look how far I am from there. We look at how far we have to go till there because we believe the devil's stupid story. Oh, look how far I've left to go. Yeah, but it's less than it was yesterday, isn't it? It's less than you had a week ago. It says, what about 2 years ago when you were still a mess and had no clue that there even was a destiny? What about that version of you? How far are you from that? Are you perfect yet? Do you have everything yet? No, but you're very far from where you started, and you should be encouraged by what God has already done to help you conquer the things that God is going to do. We've got to stop allowing the devil to come in and violate the kingdom of God. When your peace goes out the window, it is not a joke. It will mess with your life. When you start doing things that are against the law of the kingdom of God, and you start allowing those things to be violated in your life on purpose, especially when you practice lawlessness, you're going to find your life get all kinds of corruption and filth and mess and mistakes going on. Now, I want to read again. We're going to jump a chapter forward. We're going to go into Romans 15, verse 13, and it says this there. Now may the God of hope, say hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is powerful. It's one chapter over. It's just one step past where we were a minute ago. And this is saying, who's going to fill you with hope? God. God, may he fill you with hope. And this is awesome. The God of hope is going to fill you up, and he's going to fill you with what? The peace we were just talking about, with all joy we were just talking about,
amen,
believing that you can abound in hope by the power of what? The Holy Spirit. God, this is the God of hope. In other words, he's bringing hope. This is what he's going to do for you. This is the God that's bringing peace. This is the God that's going to bring, do you see what it's saying? Believing that you may abound in hope in the power of what? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We were just hearing this about the Holy Spirit a minute ago. But what I want to say to you is when you read things like this, if you read a verse like this, what you should take away from this is, hey, look, there's power in the Holy Spirit, and this is what God is trying to bring me. Do you know that all of creation, when God spoke and creation was formed, the power of the Holy Spirit, his presence, his spirit was there over the waters. His spirit was there as part of creation. His spirit was the activator when he'd speak the word and it would bring fruit out. And his spirit still dwells in us.
Yeah, amen.
How powerful is that, that the spirit of God is still functioning that way here on the earth? And what I want to encourage you with is the God of hope bringing hope in your life? Or are you finding yourself hopeless? Now, whose fault is it if you're hopeless? It's not God's. He's bringing you hope.
Come on.
So who allowed it to leak out? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
If we look at the things that God has done for our life, if we can encourage ourselves, that's the opposite of having our peace be lost. It brings peace in. Do you see what I'm saying?
Amen.
If we bring joy in the Holy Spirit, in other words, we bring the power of the Holy Spirit on, you're going to start getting happy because you go, I see the power of God moving in me. I don't have to feel it every day and think, oh, you know, I feel like I'm a powerhouse. You just have to know the powerhouse and know the powerhouse is moving in you. You don't have to feel like it. Today you probably woke up and you had the same kind of battle everybody had. I don't even want to get up. I don't even want to go. I don't even want to do. You probably felt the same war everybody feels, but if you let the power of God move on your life for a minute and you say, hey, I know the big guy and the big guy's got the power, so it doesn't matter if I feel powerful today, he's power. It doesn't matter. If my peace got broken, my peace got lost, I didn't guard it well enough, but he's the one who supplies it. It says to me right here, let him fill you with all joy and peace. So when you're feeling down and when you're feeling depressed and when you're feeling beaten, he's the one who's going to come and fill you with peace. He's the one that's going to come fill you with joy. When you're feeling depressed and you have those moments when you're feeling sorrowful, guess who's going to fill you up with joy? That's right.
Amen.
Now, this is important because if you don't understand the power of the Holy Ghost Christian on this planet, what's the power in a Holy Ghost Christian? We go, and where we go, God's there.
Yeah. Amen.
If you don't understand it, how are you going to function for God?
Come on.
You know, you're going through a battle. Let's say you're going through a battle, but you have hopes and dreams. You know, DJ, again, there's the bus, there you are. But you're going through a battle. We know, you know, at least you and me, we know the battle that you're going through, some of it. You're going through a battle. Does that mean that you're beaten? No, it means you're going through a battle.
Yeah, that's right.
But does that mean that you have all of the answers? No. Does that mean that you have all of the solutions? No. Does that mean that everything's working out the way you hoped? No. That's not even the point, actually, of the battle. The battle is only there to try and stop you from the destiny God has on the other side of that battle. But you're in one. Does that mean that your life's ruined? No. Does that mean that you can't do anything for God? No. Does that mean that you're really stopped and hindered? It doesn't have to mean any of that stuff, because God can bring joy to you even though there's a battle. God can bring peace to you even though there's a battle. Well, what about you? You know, Miguel, you're going through a battle. Yeah, there's things you're warring with. Does that mean that you're beaten? Does that mean that you're conquered? It may look like and feel like it in those moments of the battle, right? We know things that you're fighting and things you're specifically battling. But what's funny is little things that God does, he's doing there on purpose to kind of wake you up and say, hey, don't you remember? Now, God's more polite than we would be. I'd be shaking you going, hey, moron. You know, did you forget already? Just yesterday, Egypt was there. He took you out of Egypt. Magical crossing of the sea, miracle of miracles happens. The walls go dry, the ground you can walk on. You forget? You forget. You already forgot that. You're going, what did God do? Miracles, and got you out of slavery. You don't remember slavery? You were just there.
Come on.
You were just a slave. What, you forgot that? God is trying to remind you, look what I've already done. Look where you've already come from. You know, Egypt lost its hold on you, and you're free, but you forgot that somehow. Imagine this as a Christian. God has left us. Oh, really? How has he left you? You forgot about the manna, maybe. Oh, what, the time when God fed us from the sky? Yeah, I forgot about that. What about the water he gives you? What about, remember those sandals you still have after all these years in the desert, how they don't wear out? Those aren't magic sandals. Remember God who's supplying for you? I mean, in Israel would do this over and over again. I preached on it last week. Think about this, the battle, how about the walls of Jericho? God literally broke the walls down. What did they do? If you don't know this yet, go up to a big brick wall, walk around it 7 times, and then yell and shout and blow a trumpet and dance around, and the wall will still be there. God broke the walls down of this fortified city and allowed them to have victory where they had no business having victory. They did not know how to overcome that giant wall of Jericho. They would never have been able to do anything with that wall. God gave them victory, and yet they forgot it not long after. This happens to us. I'm not throwing all of Israel under a bus. I'm saying, look at you. We forget what God has already done, so we lose courage that God will do what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
God absolutely will do that. He has a plan and a purpose and a promise for you. If God has the plan, the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, a future and a hope. It's not disaster and calamity. So when you're walking in disaster and calamity, the one thing you don't want to do is stop. If you're going through something right now, at least be going through something right now, not sitting in something right now. At least be heading in the direction of out, knowing God's plans are not disaster and calamity. This feels like disaster. This feels like calamity. This feels like broke down warfare. It's all over. But this is something I might go through, this valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not going to fear evil, because God's plan is not disaster and calamity. God did not give us a spirit of fear. You remember I was saying that about scary movies. Sometimes people don't realize when a scary movie happens and it scares you, there's part of you that likes it, but it's not the part of you that you want activated, because the spirit of fear should not feed us. If it feeds you, the wrong part of you is getting fed. I used to love them, and now I avoid them, not because I'm afraid of them, just because I don't like the spirit of fear getting on me or being in my house. You ever been afraid of something stupid that had no sense?
Yep.
Would you want that functioning in you?
Nope.
We don't think that way. We just think it's harmless. It's not harmless when you allow a spirit in. It's not harmless.
Come on, it's not.
You got to realize that what you care about, what you're thinking about, what you think you are, your personality, like I said, Alex used to say, well, I'm so shy, I don't know, and I don't like to do this, and I don't like to do that. And I basically told him, I don't care, and neither does God. So you're going to have to get over that and yourself, because God's plan doesn't involve, you know, your plan, and it gets to be added to God's plan. God's plan is, here's my plan.
Yeah.
I'm declaring it. What are you going to do? Tell me that you're too shy, and you don't do, and it's not like you, and you never have. That's what everybody does when they want to quit something. That's why in marriages, you always this and you never that. That's just somebody trying to get out of a marriage. You never have. You always have. People that start doing that, you ever tried to beat an always? You ever, like, you've always done this. Oh, let me always stop it then. You can't beat an always. An always is there on purpose to try and just trip you up, because if you try to address an always or a never, you can't always and never anything. Let me go back and never have done that.
Come on.
You ever try that one? You may wish you had never done it, but you can't go back and never have done all the things that you always do.
Come on.
Always and never are ways that people escape. So what about you? What are you telling God? Are you trying to break up with God? Are you trying to quit things with God? Are you trying to violate His kingdom over your life and you're going to give Him the excuse? Well, I never, and I've always. Don't try and throw that at God. Don't try and do the breakup story with God. Don't try and violate the covenant with God, or you might see it work. You might see peace leave you. You might see joy leave you. You know, I tell people, I'm done with being sad and upset. I don't do that anymore. Even in hard times, I just go, I pray, and I get my joy back. I'm going to find it today. I'm not going to be living in sad. I don't have those sad moments and days. If a time hits me and I get upset, I go right away back into the things of God. And I certainly do not purposely go to a movie or a game or an interaction with things that are going to depress me. If there's a person who calls me and every time I leave that conversation, I'm sad or I'm upset or I'm infuriated, guess what number gets blocked on my phone? It ain't I'm not purposely putting myself under the bus of the world so that I'll lose sight of the future hope and lose sight of the past miracles and forget what God's plan is for my life. I want this God of hope to fill me with joy and with peace, and believing that I can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, because there is power in it. I want the power of God functioning in me. I want supernatural events to be there in me. You know, I was mentioning this to Ernesto, and I said, when I got turned around, I just spoke to everybody about things that God was doing in me. I wasn't preaching. I mean, technically it was, but I was just telling. I was telling people around me, this is what's right. This is what God's... I was just in Egypt. I was just a slave to my own sins and ways. But I allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to break me free and to give me victory, and I started to get a hope, and I started to get a future, and I started to get some joy, and that started to rile me up. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, Miguel, Rebecca, let's say you want to go out and you want to do something for God and you want to go talk to somebody and you're going to go, but the last 10 people you've talked to about God, zero receiving, zero answers, zero response. They didn't say, yeah, you know, that's awesome. Can you pray for me? Nothing. There was nothing from them. Now, your hope could have been impacted by that, right? This would be the natural sense of things. Our hope would be impacted. So we need kind of a filler up. Like, God, come and fill me up. Give me a little bit of hope. But what about your joy? What about if you decide tomorrow you're going to go out and you're going to go talk to these people about God, these friends that you have or the people in your neighborhood? You're just going to walk door to door and you're going to go talking to people. Now, you wake up, but you're sad. How well are you going to do? Are you even going to do it? I mean, think of if you've ever had that rainy day feeling. We all know what I'm talking about. Especially in Florida, you're going to know what I'm talking about. But you had that rainy day, like, I'm just going to stay in bed, like, I don't want to get up. We've all had that. I don't know anybody who hasn't had that, where you're like, well, I slept for 2 days in a row. Everybody's had that somewhere in their life. You've had that moment where it's just, you're depressed, you're upset, you're down. Joy can change all of that.
Yeah,
just joy. One of the powers of the Holy Ghost when it gets on you, one of the fruits is joy. You get joy functioning in you, and all of a sudden you're happy and you will go and you'll tell people. You won't even mean to. You shouldn't be taking God's thing and saying, well, I have to. I got to chore this out. It's not like that. It comes out of you I wasn't trying to tell everybody. It just happened because this was who I am now. Yeah. I'm believing God is doing something. And that's so important, especially when you're going through a battle. Do you even believe God is doing something? Do you see any steps or progress towards that goal? Because if you don't, you're the reason why they're not taking steps, why there's not progress. You're probably intimidated by the journey. You're intimidated by the distance. You're intimidated by the time. You're not looking back at where you've come from and how much God has already done. You're intimidated by the things He'll still have to do in you. I would have never done anything if I had done that. I would have never went anywhere without the power of the Holy Spirit changing and transforming me and giving me hope and giving me joy. And it doesn't matter. People around you in your life could be speaking down to you. It doesn't matter what's coming in your ear and what you used to do and your always and your never haves. It only matters if you believe what God said and really believe that He's the Savior and really believe that He'll fill you and really believe He has a plan and really believe those other things are not of His plan. Do you see what I'm saying? If Alex, you're struggling and you're going through a battle and you don't believe that's God's plan, you can let that go off. You know, if Lance is sitting there in a hospital bed and he's going, well, I don't know what might happen. You don't think that's scary when you're in a hospital bed? But when you know it's not God's plan that you die there, you can have peace. Amen. Because the God of all hope will fill you with it.
Yes.
You can have joy because you know you're going to walk out of it and there's going to be a testimony on the other side. You don't have to worry about, am I going to stay in here? You say, this is not part of God's plan. This is just a valley I'm going through, but I'm going over there.
Yep.
And I've been through valleys before.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, let's pray.